New Testament Christianity is on the air. This gospel broadcast is designed to exalt Jesus Christ in original biblical Christianity. It is our desire to have no creed but Christ and no book but the Bible. And now, your evangelist Ray Bennett of Delmarva Evangelism, Mr. Bennett.
Bible believers, we're in the Old Testament book of 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 7, and dealing with Hezekiah's revival, one of the greatest revivals recorded on the pages of the Word of God. As I look down through the message of the prophets in the Old Testament, and as I look through and listen to the message of the apostles in the New Testament, the basic message was revival, evangelism, going back to God, going back to righteousness. I'm reminded of the great prophet Jeremiah that said, as he called for revival in a wicked time, like the wicked time we're living in, he said, come back to the old paths. Come on back to the old ways and walk in those old ways. It's the good way. And those people were living in wickedness and sin. They loved their beer, their wine, their alcohol, their gambling, their filthiness, their immorality, their immorality. And when the old prophet said, come back to the old ways, they said, we will not. And they rejected Jeremiah, threw him down in a pit, nearly killed him. And so as we go down through the years, we find that God's people were constantly in the mode of calling on the nation to have revival and have an awakening. And now at this critical time in Israel's history, my, aren't we at a critical time in our own nation and in the nation wherever you're listening to this broadcast, what critical situations we see ourselves in around the world. And the decadent condition we find ourselves in is because we've turned our back from God, because we've turned our back on the message of Jesus Christ. We've tried to go our own way. We've tried to manage politics without Christ. We've tried to manage the economy without Christ. We've tried to manage education without Christ. But Christ is the hope of the world. He must be in our education. He must be in the hearts of our politicians, in the hearts of our leaders. We must not compromise Jesus Christ. That gives us liberty and freedom. All liberty and all freedom come from and emanate from Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, given through the pages of Word of God as it's dictated by the precious Holy Spirit. In 2 Kings chapter 18, we are most thankful for Hezekiah and the righteous, God-fearing man that he was in his middle 20s. His father was wicked, but Hezekiah was righteous, God-fearing, Bible-believing, a praying young man, and he brought about revival to his nation. His nation had unbelievably gone down the road of wickedness and sin, and in spite of his father and in spite of his son after him, who were both wicked, there in the middle stood Hezekiah, a man that stood head and shoulders religiously, morally, spiritually, above everyone around about him, and he called for revival and brought about revival. My, would to God we'd have leadership in our own nation that would call for revival. It's a shame to see people in positions of leadership compromise Christ for votes, compromise Christ for prestige, compromise Jesus Christ, and we're paying the price in all of our nations by compromising Jesus Christ. He alone is the Prince of Peace. He's not a Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's not a hope. He's the hope. He's not a way. He's the way. He's not a Son of God. He's the Son of the living God. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As Hezekiah came to the throne, the Bible gives his mother's name. It's interesting how that when these kings are introduced, their mother's names are given. Mom plays such an important role in the household. Moms raise your children to fear God. Moms don't spoil your children. Hold their feet to the fire. Use discipline with restraint, but Christian discipline on those children. Teach them to read the Bible. Teach them to pray. Don't fill their room with toys. Get them a hoe. Get them a shovel. Get them a rake. Teach them how to work. Teach them how to labor. We have a spoiled generation that's lazy, and people coming in from all around the world doing the work for our own people. I'm telling you, what we need to do is to have a revival from the cradle right on to the grave. And Hezekiah brought about this great revival. He came to the throne of his nation in a time of extreme wickedness. But when he came to the throne, the Bible says, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. This is 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 3. It's wonderful to see a political leader that'll do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. I have a friend in eastern North Carolina that has just become a representative in the great state of North Carolina. But he believes in one Lord and one faith and one baptism. He believes in one church. He believes in one hope. He believes in one God. He believes in the restoration of first century Christianity. He believes that evolution came from hell. He believes that we ought to have freedom. We ought to do away with abortion. My, he stands four square and let's support the politicians and the religious leaders and the political leaders and the moral leaders that believe in righteousness and goodness. They're not all gone. There's a few left. Let's encourage them. And thank God for this man, Hezekiah, that came to the throne of his nation and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. This is a powerful statement to be made about Hezekiah. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What is it when you do right in the eyes of the Lord? It means you do things that are moral. Who would ever have thought that morality would come to the situation that it is in the nations of the world? Who would ever have thought there would be same-sex marriage advocated? And who would ever have thought that all kinds of promiscuousness would be legalized and people actually having pride in their immorality and their promiscuity? My, how we need a revival, awakening. People's minds have been seared. They've gotten away from the Word of God and are practically writing their own scriptures. But Hezekiah came, and in spite of what his father did, in spite of what his son did, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. He did that which was right morally. He did that which was right spiritually. He did that which was right when it came to the commandments of Moses. He kept the Ten Commandments. He kept the law. He was faithful. He was loyal. His heart was genuine. He was a praying man. He was a man that was confident in Almighty God. And the Bible says, number one, that he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And then that rightness which was in him started to rub off on the people. And my, what he did. He put his convictions to action. He didn't keep them hidden up within himself. He put his faith to action. A lot of times people will say, well, I really believe in Christ, but I can't say anything about it in public. If you can't say anything about it in public, you can't really have confidence in him in private. If you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. The Bible says, if you're ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before the Father with his holy angels. And so therefore we must not be ashamed of God, Christ, God of the Bible. And Hezekiah had a list of nine things, nine areas where he brought about revivals. And the first one was, he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Then the Bible says in verse 4 that he removed the high places. Let's look at verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did, and he removed the high places. The children of Israel were starting to worship in areas other than Jerusalem. They were led astray by false kings that did not want their loyalty to go back to David's family. And so they set up high places of worship throughout Palestine, and they would go there contrary to God's will and worship. And they were unauthorized high places. They were not only unauthorized, they had unauthorized services there. They were conducted by unauthorized priests that were appointed by unauthorized authorities. Everything was unauthorized. Everything was unscriptural. But those high places were used as places of worship. And the Bible teaches that Hezekiah, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he removed those high places. Someone says, I thought that you could worship any place that you want to. Well, today you can worship any place that you want to, as long as you worship God, Christ, as long as you worship according to the teachings of the Bible. You can't worship according to the dictates of your own conscience. You can't worship according to the dictates of Romanism or Protestantism. You can't worship according to the dictates of denominationalism or the church of your choice or the doctrine of your choice or the way of your choice. You must worship according to the pattern set forth on the pages of the Word of God. And to worship contrary to the kind of worship set forth in the New Testament is the equivalent of worshiping in these unscriptural high places that Hezekiah, in his revival, destroyed. And so doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he removed those high places. I've been given to understand that in those high places, they would be constructed on some high knoll or on some mountain. And they would have protective areas there for the priest and places to make sacrifices. But it was all unscriptural. Oh, it was worshiping according to their conscience. It was worshiping according to the way they felt. It was worshiping according to the way that they believed. But when you stand before God, you try telling God that you followed your conscience. You're not saved by following your conscience. You're not saved by following the doctrine of your choice or the church of your choice. You're going to be saved or lost based on whether or not you followed the faithful teachings of the Word of God. Someone says, that's hard. That's hard preaching. That's hard doctrine. That's right wing. Well, it might be right wing, but I'm not in right wing, middle wing, left wing. I'm trying to do things right according to God. And if that's right wing, so be it. If it's right wing to believe that Jesus alone is the Savior, so be it. I'm right wing. If it's right wing to believe there's no church except the church described on the pages of the Bible, if that's right wing, why, be right wing. We want to be right. I'd rather be right than wrong. And so Hezekiah, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he tore down and removed those high places, and he cut out that unscriptural worship. Then thirdly, in verse 4, the Bible says that he not only removed the high places, but he broke up the images. They were worshiping images. God is not pleased with image worship. He's not pleased with bowing before images, whether they're images of Jesus, images of his mother, images of angels, images of apostles, images of prophets, images of your grandmother or your grandfather or your great father. God does not like image worship. He forbid it in any way, whether it's so-called Christian imagery or pagan imagery. God has always condemned image worship. In the Ten Commandments, they were not to make those images or bow down before them, and they were worshiping images back there. And Hezekiah, in his revival, doing right in the eyes of the Lord, he removed the high places, and he broke up, he cut down, he destroyed, he pulverized, he powderized those images. Someone would say that is a radical thing to do, to put the sledgehammer to images that people really get encouragement from. But they were pagan images. God does not appreciate paganism, whether you believe in it or not. God has one way, and his way is found in the Bible. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we've been playing church for long enough. It's time for us to get serious, get into the Word, get away from the traditions of men, and get back to the inspired Word of the living God. We're going to finish this message, hopefully, with our next program on Hezekiah's revival. But now it's time for the invitation and the reminder that there's salvation available. There's salvation in Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. That was the message that came from the angel found in the opening chapters of Matthew. And how does Jesus save his people from their sins? When you repent and you're immersed into Christ, he takes away your sins. When you believe and you're baptized, he takes away your sins, gives you the Holy Spirit, and allows you to be incorporated into the spiritual church. You're not added to the church by the Pope or the Bishop or the President or the Pastor. You're added to the church by the Lord. And the Lord alone adds to the church. And when you repent and are baptized into Christ, the Lord adds you to his spiritual church. What we want to do is encourage you to obey the gospel and get back into and in your private time study Hezekiah's revival and the other revivals called for throughout the Bible. The churches of Christ salute you. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching the gospel. And I pray that the gospel will be accepted by many in Radio Land, and people will do what you have told them to do. And help us to be faithful. Bless this broadcast and help the people of the world to look to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to New Testament Christianity, a non-denominational Bible-centered broadcast designed to promote the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism of the Word of God. Tune in next week for more Heaven High, Hell Deep, and Worldwide Shotgun Barrel Straight Preaching. Address all correspondence to Raymond S. Bennett, P.O. Box 1507, Millsboro, Delaware 19966, or call 302-542-3744.